It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also send in your questions on Twitter to hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. Sorry for not having the show yesterday. I was hanging out with Giants offensive lineman Kevin Booth as part of the Read Across America program. Kevin was reading to a bunch of kids at a elementary school in Secaucus. A lot of fun. You'll see that feature coming up on Giants.com in the coming couple weeks. And, of course, on Giants Access Blue, our question of the day. With the NFL Combine wrapping up in the next day or two, how important do you think the Combine is when trying to evaluate draft prospects? Now, there are a lot of different ways to look at this, and you've seen examples of it. For example, Milner just ran his 40 time this morning, ran a 4.31, which clearly is an excellent number, and for a cornerback, speed is extremely important, and that 40-yard dash is pretty much what everybody looks at when they're worrying about speed at that position. Now, a guy that's going to be negative effective by his combine number is a guy like Manti Te'o, who a lot of people are looking forward to seeing at the combine to see some of his raw physical skills. And now, as you take a look at it, a guy like Te'o, who had the great college career, had the bad championship game against Alabama, one of the most pro-style and pro-ready teams in college football, teams wanted to see him perform well at the combine. And the 4.8 for a linebacker in the 40, is it hideous? No, but is it where they wanted him to be? Certainly not. They'd certainly like him more in that 4.6 range, which would get him into the middle of that first round. Now with that 4.8 on the 40, I'm not exactly sure where he's going to fall in this draft, but likely in the middle rounds now, maybe a 2, somewhere in the 3rd. So it's a very important thing for some players, but how important is it as compared to what these college football players do during the regular season? There are a lot of things to take into consideration as you take a look at these college prospects. How important is the combine? Do you consider these raw times, which measure these physical attributes, more important than what they do during the football season? I don't. I find the college season and what you see on tape to be far more important. So as we move forward here and we start getting a better feel for these players, where they're going to fall in the draft, and how these drafts are going to play out, you know, the combine plays a role in that moving forward. And once this combine is over, you'll really start to get a better feeling as to where these football players are going to fall in the first and second round. Now it's still a bit of a mystery, but it'll become a little bit clearer in the coming weeks as more guys have their pro days. The guys that didn't perform at the combine will have their own private workouts, and you'll get a better feel for where these guys are going to land on draft day. And that's when all these smoke screens and rumors and all that starts, where teams try to convince other teams what they're going to do in the draft. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's go to our phones and go to Andrew in Medford. Andrew, good morning.
Yes, hello, good morning.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
What's on your mind this morning?
I'd like to know with the Giants, the situation here. We have a lot of unanswered questions still. Are they going to sign Corey Webster? Do they keep Bennett at tight end?
All right, well, I will take those one at a time, Andrew. One, Corey Webster is under contract. Now, the issue with Corey Webster is that he's due to make about $7 million this year, which for a guy that's getting up there in age in terms of the cornerback position and had a down year last year is a lot of money. So there's a lot of speculation that the Giants are going to try to get him to renegotiate that contract. Whether or not that happens remains to be seen. Heck, you know what? Frankly, it could have happened. Renegotiating contracts generally isn't something that the Giants announce. Now, no other media outlet has reported it, and like much like Mathias Kiwanuka's renegotiation got leaked, this is something that could get leaked as well, I suppose. So that's the question with Corey Webster, not whether they're not going to resign him, but whether or not they're going to try to either renegotiate his contract number down, or if he refuses to renegotiate his contract down, which is his right, he signed the deal, he has every right to the money that he agreed to, then the Giants would have to make a tough decision and they might have to cut him.
And you think that maybe something like with Tom Brady reconstructing his contract, that other players might want to do that, or they just feel that, no, I'm for myself, you know, it's about a money game and stuff like that, you know?
Well, you know, it depends on the player, and the Tom Brady situation is a little bit different because Tom Brady had more than 1 year left on his deal. So he took the money already in his contract and just moved things around, rearranged it to just, you know, change his cap hit in seasons. With Corey Webster, it's a little tougher. He only has 1 year left on his contract. So unless the Giants want to extend him a couple years and then move that money back, it's really hard to renegotiate a one-year contract. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And if we want to even get a little closer to home there, Eli Manning is a good example. He reconstructed his contract as well.
Yeah, he did, and Mathias Kiwanuka did. And you know, but the Giants had to make tougher decisions with Bradshaw, Boley, and Canty. So, you know, it all depends on the player. Some of these players that maybe haven't made a ton of money in their career, and who knows what happens, investments, whatnot. You know, remember, we did have the huge recession that's really still going on right now.
Absolutely.
And the economy hasn't gone back yet. These guys might not, for whatever reason, be able to afford renegotiating that contract. But, look, I think the Giants, with Corey Webster and with David Deal, I think both guys are veterans. They're probably making a little bit more money than the Giants can afford for what they're giving them on the field. I think the Giants will try to renegotiate, and we'll see if the players are amenable to maybe taking a little bit less money this year to help out the team's cap situation.
And you're absolutely right, because these players are getting older, too, and they're not going to get what they used to get paid, also in the salary, even if they go to another ball club.
That's the thing that Corey Webster has to weigh, and to a lesser extent, David Deal, since his cap number's not quite as high. If Corey Webster says, look, I'm not going to renegotiate my contract, I'm getting my $7 million, or you cut me, and then the Giants cut him. The question is, how much money can Corey Webster get when he gets to free agency then? Is he going to get more than $2 or $3 million a year? I don't know, coming off that last season and being in his 30s. He might not be able to get that. So if Webster judges that his value on the open market isn't that high, he's better off taking $4 million from the Giants because he's not going to get more elsewhere.
Absolutely, and he's with a contender already.
Yeah, and he's familiar with the defense. He's friends with everybody in the team here. He's been with New York his whole career. I think they'll be able to work something out with Webster and Deal. And again, this is something that might have happened already. It just hasn't been reported. The Giants don't release details on contracts and those things. So, you know, this is something that could already be in the works and nobody knows about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Giants, what I like about them, the ownership is all family-ran and, you know.
Yeah, no question. Oh, well, thanks for the call. Looks like we lost him there. Appreciate the call, Andrew. Good stuff. Thanks a lot. And he's right. And I think they'll figure out ways to get most of these players that are on the last year of their deal to keep them around, figure out what's best for them and best for the team, come to a compromise, and, you know, keep them around. I think that is something that'll certainly happen in one way, shape, or form. So as you move forward here, the Giants will have some more tough decisions to make. Whether or not they have to let players go outright, if they can get some of these renegotiations done, it's all stuff that the Giants are going to have to figure out moving forward. So there you have it. In terms of the Mathias Kiwanuka thing, he did a very minor renegotiation, which, again, was possible because he had years left on his contract. So as you move forward and the Giants start to figure out exactly where their money's going to go, what they're going to do, the Giants can figure out who they can give what money to, what money they have allotted to certain players at certain spots, and you can kind of go from there. Okay? So that's a tough thing the Giants are going to have to figure out as they structure their salary moving forward. They have players on offense, players on defense, and even special teams guys. They might have to make a tough decision on Lawrence Tynes and not bring him back. It's something that's a tough decision the Giants are going to have to make. Andrew in Medford's back. Andrew, we lost you a second ago. You're back now. Appreciate it. What's up, man?
Yeah. Hey, John. Morning again.
No problem.
Listen, also wanted to talk, address the tight end situation, which is a very serious topic, I believe, with the Giants offense.
Sure. What do you think? Do you think they should bring back Bennett?
I really think they should bring back Bennett, and I also want to also am curious on how Beckett's going to be this year.
Well,
Beckham.
Well, Beckham's a free agent, so unless the Giants decide to bring Travis Beckham back, right now all the only two tight ends the Giants have in the roster are Bear Pasco and Adrian Robinson, the second-year player out of Cincinnati. They also have Larry Donald on the practice squad from last year as well. So besides Bennett, the Giants don't have a ton of depth at tight end right now.
No, and that's a big hole in the offense, I think, there. I mean, you go with Bennett, who's a veteran, and he had a pretty decent year last year with them also. So.
Well, the question is, though, how much money are you going to have to pay Martellus Bennett, Andrew, to get him to stick around? Because he's a guy that on the free agent market, he's a good athlete. He caught 50 balls last year. He can block, too. He's a multidimensional tight end. What if another team goes after him, offers him, you know, $5, $6 million a year? Do the Giants think they can get almost equal or similar production from someone else that they don't have to pay the same amount of money to? You know what I mean?
Like Beckham, right? If they decide to keep Beckham, right, his salary is not high, I'd be sure. You
yeah,
know?
But Beckham's not – see, and this is the issue with the Giants, and this is why a lot of times they're not in the market for some of the same tight ends these other teams are, even in the draft. The Giants need their tight end to block. If you don't block and you're a Giants tight end, you're not going to play. That's why Travis Beckham had so many problems getting on the field while he was with the Giants. And that's why Martellus Bennett's a good fit, because he is a very good blocker. In fact, he's probably a better blocker than he is a receiver. So the Giants – if they don't bring back Bennett, they'll have to try to find somebody else that can do both. But priority number one is blocking on the line of scrimmage, getting the running game going, and protecting Eli Manning.
True, true. Because Eli Manning, you know what he does. If you block for him, boy, he makes some tight ends shine, huh? Look at all the tight ends that played for him in the last few seasons, and look what they've done.
Yeah, you aren't exactly talking about guys that are, you know, going to the Hall of Fame or going to the Pro Bowl either. I mean, Kevin Boss had some concussion issues. Put that aside, he's a good tight end, but he's nothing special. Jake Ballard basically was taken off the scrap heap, and he did what he did. And then Martellus Bennett, frankly, did next to nothing in Dallas playing behind Jason Witten. He comes here, and Eli Manning turns him into a really good player. Maybe I have some phone issues. I don't know what's going on with that today. Strange. Sorry, Andrew. Appreciate the call again. I hope you got his tight end question in, so at least he got everything he wanted to get in. But we lost Andrew there. I'm going to blame Long Island for that. You know, Wipe is out there. Maybe they screwed something up. I don't know. I'm basically making stuff up at this point. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. We have some comments coming in on Twitter at #GiantsChat. This one comes in from Marcus Erickson. It is important for the coaches and GM to see prospects up close and talk to them. The drills equal confirmation of tape. And I think Marcus really hit the ball on the screws there. What the combine does, it allows you to take a look at what these players have done over the course of the season and confirm that. You see a guy that had 120 tackles, and you say, well, this guy must have good side-to-side speed, right? Well, you have the shuttle drill, and then you have, you know, the drill where you got to shed tackles and then, you know, go through the drills and change the direction for corners, top flight speed, some stuff like that. So you're right. The drills and what you see at the combine does confirm what the players do during the year. And that's when you get into the tricky part. When a guy does much better at the combine than he did during the football season, how do you judge that guy? A guy like Goldston that the Jets drafted a few years ago, inconsistent at Ohio State, goes to the combine, blows out, you know, 40, bench press, shuttle drill, change of direction, dominates offensive linemen in the one-on-one drills, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this guy's a first-round pick. Then you pick him and you're like, oh, crap, he's playing like he did in the games at Ohio State. Oops. You make mistakes. But then you have a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul, who did very little in college, goes to the combine, does his 35 backflips, runs around like a man possessed, is basically runs around like a running back in a defensive lineman's body, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy's a freak of nature. We're going to pick him even though he doesn't have a lot of production in college, and he turns into a, you know, 16.5 or 19.5 sack guy in year number two with the Giants. So you balance it. And then you have other guys like Jerry Rice, whose 40 speed was pedestrian. Oh, maybe he's not going to be a great wide receiver. But all of a sudden, when he puts the pads on, the helmet on, he's outrunning everybody else. So That's why the combine's so tough, and it makes you figure out exactly who these players are and how good they are. Back to our phones, 201-939-4513. Angel's in New Jersey. Angel. Whoa, there we go. Yeah, we are having some kind of phone problems here today. I don't know what's going on. Strange. 201-939-4513. We'll try to get to your calls as we move forward here, folks, if we can get this phone situation squared away right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Poor Dan Salamone. He's stepping in for the first time screening calls from Mortensen, and the phones are giving him problems. Oh, man. Can't catch a break, can you, Salamone? Don't think you can. back to Twitter, hashtag Giants chat. This one comes in from at Mike Farmer 20. He likes Martellus Bennett, but if you haven't noticed, Giants fans, they make tight ends look good that come out of nowhere over the last 5 to 6 years, not a must sign. And Mike, that's the same point that I made, and I agree. I don't think you need to go out there and spend huge money on somebody at the tight end position. You have two big-time wide receivers like Akeem Nixon, Victor Cruz. They do an excellent job drawing coverage, and that tight end has a lot of room to run. I'm telling you, I watched Jake Ballard at training camp back in, boy, I guess that was 2011, right? Training camp 2011, Super Bowl year. And he's running around, and you're watching Jake Ballard run routes, and what goes through your head was, how is this guy ever going to get open? He looked like he was running around with cement shoes on in slow motion. You didn't think he would have a chance of being an effective receiver in the NFL. And in fact, the first week of camp, he couldn't catch a thing either. He was dropping everything, left and right. And all of a sudden, he gets in sync with Eli. He always runs the right route. He takes advantage of one-on-one opportunities. And wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. He ends up being a big, big factor for the New York Football Giants. So maybe they can do that again, but it is a risk. So I think if you can get Martellus Bennett back, a guy that's proved he can block in the run, block in the pass, and catch the ball for the New York Football Giants as a tight end, you can get him back at a reasonable number, I think you bring him back. But like Mike Farmer says on Twitter, I'm not sure you break the bank for him. A couple other things coming in here on hashtag Giants chat. This one coming in from Raheem Semper. Kellen Winslow Jr. is his favorite tight end. I hope he comes to the Giants if they do a double tight end offense in 2013. Well, for one, I don't expect the Giants to go to a primarily double tight end offense. You have Henry Hinoski as a fullback, and you like him in that spot. If you're playing two tight ends, you're not going to have a fullback in the backfield. So I think that's something that you take a look at if you think about going two tight ends. You lose a guy like Hinoski who's very good at what he does. And I don't think that if you're the Giants, you want to do that. And Kellen Winslow, not exactly a big-time blocker, a guy that the Giants can use. All right, folks, we're going to try the phones one more time here. Let's keep our fingers crossed and go back to Angel in New Jersey. Angel, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to know what you thought about Jake. I forgot his last name. I think Mawasso. Is that correct?
Oh, Masao.
The guy who was on the roster last year, he's a middle linebacker.
Yeah, he was in camp. Jake Masao, he was in training camp. He's a guy the Giants liked. He did not make the final roster. I believe Jake was actually brought back on a futures contract for this year's training camp, if I'm not mistaken, right? So the Giants will give him another run, and he'll have a chance to compete with guys like Mark Herzlich, and if the Giants decide to bring back Chase Blackburn for that middle linebacker spot. I think the Giants like what they saw out of him, and they're giving him another chance to earn a spot on the roster in OTAs and training camp this year.
And I had one more question.
Sure.
I was wondering if you know of a guy named John Mayer. He's supposed to be undrafted.
I'm aware of John Mayer, the musician. That's about all I got for you.
All right. I appreciate it.
Angel, appreciate the call, man. I'm not sure if he was playing games with me or not. There could be a John Mayer. I don't know. I can do a Google search. I'm assuming it's spelled like the mayor of a city. He said Colorado. Let's see if we can find something on this John Mayer category character. No, I got a lot of Google hits for mayors in Colorado, but that's about it. And I don't want to put in the musician's name, because I know that's all that's going to come up. Maybe football? I could put that in the Google search, see if that comes up with anything. Anyway, back to Twitter here as we take a look at some of the tweets coming in. Again, I'm not sure Kellen Winslow Jr., Raheem, is a good fit. He's not much of a blocker, and again, that's what the Giants are looking for out of their tight ends. Let's see, what else do we got here? From Ryan Godfrey at MetsFanRG, do you think the Giants will re-sign Osiemuenyura, and if not, what team do you think will sign him. Well, I can't tell you what team's going to sign Osium in here. I can tell you that I believe there's going to be a fair amount of demand for him. Now, I don't think teams are going to go out there and offer him what they would offer a 22, 23-year-old franchise defensive end. OC's 31. He's had some knee issues in the past. He had a down year last year just getting, I think he only had 5 sacks over the course of the full year. So it's not a deal where he's going to, you know, get $8, $9 million a season. But there's a lot of demand out there for defensive ends that can rush the passer. And if there are teams out there that are desperate for a pass rusher, even if it's just in situations, they'll give him a couple million dollars a year and guarantee some of that money. And I think there'll be some demand for him. And OC is then going to have to make a decision. And I've talked about this all offseason long. I still think there's a chance OC comes back to the Giants. Is it a great chance? No. But here's the chance that he has. If he looks around and sees no one's willing to pay him like a full-time defensive end, but instead someone is willing to pay him as a situational guy and maybe not give him a ton of money, is he more likely to come back to the Giants as a situational guy for less money rather than go elsewhere? And that, I think, is the opportunity for him to come back to the Giants if he wants to come back as a situational guy for not a lot of money. So that's how he gets back here, because he's, at least not for the Giants, he's not going to be a full-time defensive end playing 50, 60 snaps a game. I think those days for OC are over. And it's just a matter of whether or not there's another team out there that thinks he can that's willing to pay him that type of money. 201-939-4513. Back to the phone, Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning, pal. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Nothing much, Steve.
Good,
what's up?
Thanks. Hey, listen, I was just wondering what you guys thought about, you know, so far what you've seen in the combine and where you think we may go as a possible in our first pick.
Well, honestly, Steve, what I've seen in the combine hasn't changed my mind. I think this is still a very heavy defensive line draft. It's a very heavy offensive line draft. And it's a very heavy front seven draft on defense. And I put it in my head again. I don't know anything. This is just me speculating. I'd say there's a 75% chance, as we sit here right now, that the Giants pick somebody in the front seven on defense with their first round pick, whether it's a lineman or a linebacker.
Well, I have to agree totally. I would say it's closer to about 80-85% after seeing Tom Coughlin down on the field grabbing at the ball yesterday, you know. But, you know, I really appreciate his enthusiasm. Let me ask you this. It seems like, I know we kind of talk about, you know, our offensive, you know, package as far as how we're set up, you know, player-wise and scheme-wise. And I was wondering, do you think we'll see any change in our offensive scheme at all this year? I kind of like to see a little bit more shorter passes, get the running backs involved in the passing game a little bit more, you know, and involve our tight ends with, you know, not only obviously blocking, but, some shorter passes. And I'm just wondering, do you think we'll, you know, go a little bit in that direction, or will we continue to try to push the ball downfield?
Steve, I think you'll get some changes in the offense. You know, you get that for every so often, and I think you'll get it again. But you're not going to get any, like, big-time philosophical changes from what Kevin Gilbride likes to do offensively. He does what he does, and the Giants are going to be a team that likes to throw the ball down the field. And frankly, I agree. I think at times you can check down, make some shorter passes. But I think what really hurt the Giants this year is they didn't get that down-the-field pass game going that they did so well in the Super Bowl year, mostly because of Akeem Nix's injury. So if you get Nix back, Cruz is back, you're going to try to go back down the field again and try to make some big plays. But I do think they'll try to commit a little bit more to the running game, be a little bit more balanced. That prevents turnovers. That gives you ball protection. So I think you put all those things together, I think those are the tweaks you're going to see. But this is still going to be a Kevin Gilbride, Eli Manning offense where they're going to try to make big plays.
Well, I don't know how much we changed from last year. And I think that's really what kind of hurt us. I know we're obviously not having Nix out there. And did you say that Cruz is back? We didn't sign Cruz yet, did we?
No, Cruz is not back yet, but I still think when push comes to shove, whether it's on a long-term extension or if it's just on that, you know, first-round tender offer, odds are Cruz will be back for at least this year.
Yeah, well, I hope we don't overpay for him. And, I like to just see us hold the ball a little bit longer. And, you know, the way we've been trying to push it down the field is really kind of taking away our time of possession, which I think hurts us all around. And, you know, I was just hoping we just get the ball. I don't care if we throw it downfield or throw it either short and get some yak, but either way, we got to get more time of possession. We're not going to stand a chance.
So, yeah, look, I agree, but, Steve. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, I think we really need to change a little bit. Obviously, we have, you know.
There we go. I think we are. We're also having some kind of localized phone problems here today. It's weird. We keep losing calls. Not sure what's going on. 201-939-4513. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks for giving us a ring today, folks, and talking some Giants football. I know Steve said you can't overpay for Victor Cruz, and I'll just follow up on that before I say goodbye here and wrap up the show. And if you want to check out a very in-depth conversation, we got a couple more calls coming. If you guys want to talk, we can get you on real quick. But if you guys want to listen to a really in-depth conversation on Victor Cruz and Akiem Nicks, download the podcast from Friday's show and just take a listen to it. Paul Dottino and I have basically a 45-minute conversation on all the sticky dynamics between Victor Cruz and Akiem Nicks and what it's going to take to bring those guys in and keep both of them and the difficulties that surround both those decisions. So if you want to really listen to an in-depth conversation on the tough decision the Giants have to make on Cruz, download the podcast of Friday's show. It's on Giants.com. Check it out. And Paul and I really get into it with those two guys and really how it's not only going to be tough to sign both. I'm sure the Giants, they've said it, it's their intention to bring both guys back. But balancing their salaries, what you give Cruz will impact what Nicks wants. How many years, guaranteed money, all that stuff is something you have to take into consideration. Let's go to our final call of the program and say hello to Martin down in Texas. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, Martin. What's up?
All right. I'm a big fan of the Giants. I got two questions. Why don't we, Hurstick, I don't think would be a good fit for a linebacker. I think somebody like Matt Tytel with speed who likes to hit would be a good fit. And as far as defensive end, I think we need to sign at least Dwight Freeney for a year or two if we can get Dwight Freeney in there.
Well, would you rather bring in Freeney or would you rather bring back Osi?
No, I'd rather bring in Freeney. Freeney, I watch him on TV and he hustles every play. Osi doesn't hustle every play.
And I would worry about Teo's speed, by the way. You said a speedy guy like Teo, he only ran a 4.8 at the combine. That is not a very good number for a linebacker.
Yeah, but you know, if you got somebody like him, he's a devastator hitter. He likes to hit. I mean, I watched him at college and he's a hitter. We need people like him and Blackburn.
Now, Martin, I will say that. I think the Giants do have to bring in some competition at middle linebacker to just push Chase, if the Giants bring Chase Blackburn back, by the way. He's a free agent as well. But they're not going to hand this job to Mark Herzlick. It's going to be a competition for who starts at middle linebacker this year.
Right. Because our defense was a big problem last year.
Especially run defense, and I think that came down to the linebacker position.
Yes, sir. You got it.
All right, Martin, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Well, Martin's taking some calls of his own over there. That's some type of call center down in Texas. But I think middle linebacker is going to be one of the interesting positions. Whether or not the Giants go there in the first round, I can't speak to it. But I think there's a decent shot the Giants do add somebody in the draft, maybe bring in a veteran free agency. So we'll see if the Giants end up going there. All the callers, great job this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. Thanks for Danny on the phones. Face bright red, thinks he's screwing up. It's not your fault. At least I don't think it is. Though the one call Neil did screen worked out, so I don't know. Maybe you have a little kiss of death from Dan Salomon. And he'll be helping out doing calls, so will Neil, with Mortensen moving on to greener pastures in Major League Baseball. Anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, or at least that's the plan, at 10 a.m. on Giants.com. We'll try to get these phone situations squared away, and we'll talk to you in the morning. Everyone have a good one.